For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile, and the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time, there's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply. See ebaymotors.com.
Every team, every topic, everywhere. This is Believe.
It is time for another episode of Believe in Kentucky. Got AG Aaron Gershon, the QB Jalen Whitlow. Fellas, how y'all doing?
Doing well, man. Another week, one more non-conference game, and then it's a seven-game stretch of all SEC balls. So looking forward to breaking down last week, which was awesome defensively, a little sloppy offensively, but can't complain too much at 3-0.
Yeah. I'm good, man. Good and getting better, man. It's good to, you know, see those guys put the ball in the air a little bit. You know, that's what I was excited to see. I went back and watched the game again a couple hours ago when I had some time, just the offense. And, man, it's good to see him, you know, see that 30-something passing attempts. That's good to see to me, man. You know, just from a quarterback standpoint, hey – you know, I bet Will Levis is a happy guy right now. He can't complain. You know, getting the chance to throw the ball 30 times in the game, NIL deals coming in. What more could you ask for?
And y'all said it. Y'all called it that they would throw it around and try to get that tuned up and lined out. So they did that. Still got, like y'all said, you. Some stuff you want to improve on. Oh, yeah. The fact that you can do it after a win. And look, I'm a little older than y'all, but to be 3-0 and be pissed off at, like, oh, we didn't do this right. This is a whole new Kentucky football mindset, mentality, culture, call it whatever you want to call it. Because you used to scrap and claw. And y'all remember, a few years after you, Jalen, it was – you know, he went 5-7, 5-7. They're just trying to make a bowl. Here we are, 3-0. It's not even fall yet. You know, so it's totally changed. It's totally changed. Now you blow somebody out, and it's like, well, we still got this to work on, and we better get this fixed if we want to be a good team before conference play.
Yeah, I mean, there was a lot to be, I think, annoyed with on the offensive side of the ball. I mean, we all know the offensive line. I think continuity is still a big issue, just getting, you know, they've had five different starting fives at this point due to injury issues, and then just, you know, changing up personnel with Wallabog and Horsey at left tackle. But there was a couple of missed assignments on blocks from receivers that really agitated Stoops Monday. Man, was he pissed off. You would never have known they won that game, let alone 131-0. But also, I think another thing is just some routes, kind of the timing of those getting messed up and leading to some of those interceptions. One of them, though, Rich Scangarello said yesterday was a footwork issue with Will, that being the second one he threw. So, yeah, there's definitely some. And then, you know, Mark Stoops is so used to, obviously, like Jalen said, it's great to be airing the ball out and having an effective passing game, but you still want to have that run game be a factor and really, you know, scare the opposition from just dropping back in coverage and make them think about the run too. And Kentucky is ranked, I want to say, 122nd in the run offense nationwide. That is just not who they've been. That's not their identity. And you can tell there's a lot of frustrations wanting to get back to that. And the question is it all schematical? Is it all blocking, or is it simply just inserting number 24 in there next week?
Yeah. I think, you know, the thing that I get from watching them is, like, I mean, you can never have everything at once. That's just life. You know, you look back, you know, 2, 3, 4, 5 years ago, and people are like, man, can we just throw the ball? Can we get two completions in a row? Like, now you look right now and it's like, man, can we get the ball? Can we advance the ball in the run game 5 yards down the field plus? And it's like, man, you know, and I do believe the run game is going to get on track, but it's like, man, you can never have everything. Special teams playing well, defense playing well, passing game looking good, the run game. You know, it's always going to be something that you got to build up. And like you said, you know, five different combinations up front is always tough, but I think they'll gel and they'll get it together. The most exciting part about it, if I'm Rich Scangarello, is we have been able to run the ball. I mean, like you said, you know, 122nd or whatever in the country, and we know that's going to change. So once that change, how much more effective can we be? A lot more effective. And I think they got, you know, it's not a Chris Rodriguez thing, I don't think. It's a combination to me, and obviously I could be wrong, but this is just my opinion. It's a combination of everything. And I think, you know, Chris Rodriguez will help it because the guy never falls backwards. He's always falling forward, getting you back to the line of scrimmage. At worst, you know, at his best case scenario against good teams, he's falling forward, getting you three. Like Stoop said, 2nd and 6, 2nd and 7 is a lot better than 2nd and 12, 13. So that, and I think it's part scheme too, in my opinion. I think there's, you know, there's a lot of NFL scheme in this thing, man. And you're dealing with 18-year-old kids, 19-year-old kids, let's call it what it is. It takes them a while to get that stuff. It's a lot of stuff. I mean, Will is calling two plays in a huddle sometimes.
Yeah.
You know, so from a kid, you know, you got a kid coming from high school who his offense may be, you know, doubles right, cross, right? Two words. Now you're going into the huddle and Will is calling 2, 7, 8 word plays at once. So that's 14, 16 words that they're getting in the huddle. That's a lot to process. And when you're not processing that at a good speed, you're playing a little bit slower. That's why you keep hearing the offensive coaches and offensive staff saying, you know, keep getting comfortable in the scheme. And we'll talk about that later, I'm sure. But I got my opinions about that too. But I think the last thing is just the offensive line. You know, they got to do better in the run game. I mean, period. I don't think it's a physicality thing. I don't think it's effort thing. I just think is a, you know, time in a saddle thing. I just think they need more time together.
Yeah, and you meant the running game, Chris, like you said, he's going to fall forward. And, you know, Mark Stoops said after the game Saturday and again Monday, they want to get back to running back downhill. But the question is, they're running a lot of outside zone, and that goes in with the scheme. So they're going to bounce it outside. How do you kind of balance getting back to running downhill, but also, you know, you're schematically sound to run outside zone?
Yeah, that's the thing. And I think we all know Chris Rodriguez is a downhill runner.
Absolutely.
I mean, yeah, we know that. So I think you'll get, you know, especially early on when he gets back, you'll get a good rotation of guys in there. Because I think one of the things that and I've been watching Kvassie since he was in high school, because he's from where I'm from pretty much. So one thing you will get is Kvassie running a lot of the tosses, the wide zones, the pin and pulls type schemes. And I mean, Chris will do it some. That's why I think they'll rotate early on the first game or two or three. And once the end of the season hit, they're going to try to get Chris into that flow, I think. But, you know, I think you got – it's a good problem to have at the end of the day. I mean, you got multiple backs. I like the other kid that was coming in there too, Wright.
Yeah.
I like him a lot, man. I think he's pretty good.
I think they want him to get more involved, but he put the ball on the ground, and you know how that goes to the Stoops. That's doghouse immediately.
Yeah, and that's another thing that I was shocked to see. I was shocked to see so many guys put the ball on the ground.
Yeah, four times.
Yeah, you really don't see that, you know, from you know, Kentucky offense, really. But like I said, you know, it's just about ironing out those kinks, you know, at the end of the day. And this is – I just saw a video about the whole Nebraska thing, but, you know, and, you know, what's the guy? Iowa State coach was talking about, have we lost our way? Why are we firing coaches so early in the season? Whatever. Obviously, it's the money. But I just think about, at the end of the day, we got to realize this is college athletics. Some of these kids are still, like I said, they're still kids, you know. So, this is not professional sports at the end of the day. You know, we hold guys to a high standard because there's a lot of stuff, you know, riding on this stuff. But, you know, guys get better and better and better as the season goes. You watch NFL some days, and most of those guys are maxed out. That's as best as they're going to get. You know, you're watching college football, and at the end of the day, a lot of these kids are 1 year, 2 years, even 3 years removed from high school. You still got a lot of growing to do. So they'll get, you know, it's you don't want to see that type of stuff. It's a discipline thing. It's a work ethic thing, whatever it may be. But, you know, I just think they'll continue to get better. It's, like I said, 31-0. And people are complaining. I look at the comments. People are complaining. I'm like, I mean, just rewind that tape about 10, 11 years. I bet you'll stop.
Yeah, they're 100% on that.
And here's the thing, though. Like you said, Jalen, you can't have everything all at once. And right now, the defense is kind of carrying the offense. It's just a few things here and there. It looks like the offense will eventually click. Even though there are similarities between Rich and Cohen, it's still not going to be a seamless transition. You flash back a couple years after you left UK, where Stoops is 5-7, 5-7, can't get that sixth win, trying to get bowl eligible. Then they go a couple years at 7-5. You think back to they beat Louisville 41-38 at Louisville. The offense had to carry the defense. Defense wasn't stopping people like they are now. Think back to that Mississippi State game where Austin McGinnis hits the kick. That game was in high
40-38.
Where the defense, once again, wasn't on par and able to get stops. Now we've seen it flip. The defense is having to carry the offense. You can't have it all. It's a juggling act. And while something is down, maybe the other units kind of step it up and hold it down till that other unit gets where it needs to be. And that's kind of the way it is right now. Offense is trying to get up to where special teams and defense is.
Yeah, and I go ahead, Jalen.
No, you good. Go ahead.
Okay, yeah. And I think, I mean, like we've kind of been saying, the offense hasn't been horrendous. Like, you know, they're putting up points. They put up four touchdowns still, and they, you know, they put up another field goal. And then at Florida, they were able to manage a couple, you know, they had obviously the touchdown bomb to Dane, and were able to take advantage of a short field, score a touchdown, couple field goals. So it's not like, you know, the offense has been non-existent. They just know they need to take it to the next step because they're going to be playing a lot better defenses. I mean, look at how Ole Miss has transformed their defense this year. They've been really sound defensively, way better than in past years when, you know, their whole team has been offense. So they're starting to find a group defensively. And then we know, like, later in the year what it's going to be like with Georgia or even Mississippi State in that 5-3-5 or 3-5-3 Kentucky always struggles with. So it's really important, I think, to just get some things ironed out this week. Northern Illinois, guys, defensively, they're ranked 111th in the country, 118 against the pass, and 77 against the run.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think you kind of hit the, you know, nail on the head right there, man. Again, it's another game where, you know, maybe this game they switch a little bit. They really come out and try to establish the run, you know, that type of thing. But, you know, it's going to, you know, like you said, it's not going to be a seamless transition. There are some carryover. There is some carryover from Cohen. But at the same time, I watched the film. I don't see a lot of carryover. I see some, but
it
looks different. I don't see a lot of carryover. Like formationally, you know, it's definitely different formationally. The way they're using the tight ends in this offense is different. The fullbacks actually having a true fullback a lot of snaps. You know, it's, you know, schematically, there are a lot of differences. You see a few similarities, but there are a lot of differences. I mean, and I know some of the terminology has changed. I know some of the offensive line calls have changed. I know some of the verbiage. And then you're dealing with a different type of energy at the coordinator position. You know, you're dealing with a different guy. Liam Cohen seemed like he was a little bit more fiery than this guy. This guy, Scangarello, is more, seemed like he's more relaxed.
Yeah.
An older guy, laid back. But, I mean, good coach, obviously. But, you know, but he, it's a different deal. You're dealing with a lot of different stuff, different style of teaching. You know, so – and I know they try to keep everything else pretty much status quo on the staff on the offensive side of the ball for the most part, but you know, it's a different deal. I mean, it is. It's a different scheme, it's a different style, it's a different, you know, level of processing that needs to play, take place to be successful and you know, and executing this offense. So again, it's still early though, you know, at the end of the day, but yes, they do need to get the run game going, because when you play Georgia, you gotta be hitting on all cylinders. You play Mississippi State, for whatever reason, Mississippi State is like kryptonite sometimes. You gotta be hitting on all cylinders. I mean, it's just the truth. I think Louisville's gonna be a bloodbath this year, but but it's a rivalry game, so you never know. So, you know, so I mean, and obviously the other SEC teams that we're not mentioning are gonna be, you know, it's gonna be a dog fight in some of those games. So that's just how it is, man. That's how it is.
And this kind of low hanging fruit, but I just feel, and the receiver room's played pretty well overall. Actually, I think really well, but I feel like they miss Wandale a little more than I thought they might, just because he can make one play that just turns the game around. Yeah. And I think Tavion's really good. I just think Wandale's on a different level. Dane and Berrion are freshmen. Like, I just think they missed that guy who can turn a game on its head like that. I mean, we saw even against Florida, a game they did not play well offensively last year. I think Will threw for under 100 yards, and he still had that 41-yard touchdown catch that kind of swung momentum in that ball game.
Yeah, I think I was watching it today, and I was like, man, I wish Tavion could get more routes down the field, you know, but obviously they're doing a good job of using guys for what they're good for. Dane Key, I watched him and I've watched videos of him. He's very good at understanding the scope of what the offense want to do, like the broad perspective of what they want to get accomplished on each play. I could tell by how good his timing is, you know, on those benders and those digs and those in cuts. He's really savvy for his age, you know. But, you know, I think Tavion definitely needs the ball more. I think he's a playmaker. He just don't have that spark that kid from last year had.
Wandale.
Yeah, he don't have the spark as far as the speed, the initial suddenness that Wandale had. But he's a good receiver. He's really good. I mean, he does. I mean, I've watched him, and he's a really good receiver. They almost got it. I think this is the first time in Stoops' career as a head coach at Kentucky where he almost, you know, is kind of lost when it comes to – not lost, but he got embarrassment of riches at receiver. I mean, call it what it is. I mean, you put DeKale Crowders in there, he can make plays. I mean, you put Harris in there, he can make plays. You put
Greenwood, Chauncey.
Yeah. Chauncey, he's not bad. In my opinion, Chauncey's going to be an NFL receiver. Y'all heard it.
He's
y'all
got
heard
good it. Hands.
Yeah, he's going to be an NFL receiver. I really like him. I think he's one of those, like, sure guys to me. I could be wrong, but the coaches speak highly of him. They like him. You also got Lewis that's, you know, catching touchdown. I mean, you know, they got guys, and they're going to play tight ends. They're going to play fullback. So it's tough to find, you know, a nice rotation when you're sometimes only playing two receivers on the field, and sometimes one. So, you know.
Yeah, I can't wait to get Jordan Anthony in there, man. He was wide. I don't know if you could see it well watching the film, but the one play they let him just run free, he was wide open. And Will just missed him, man. He was wide open.
Yeah, he was. I mean, he got down the field in a hurry.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, yeah. So they got guys, man. again, you know, I like where this is going. I think it's going to be interesting where they end up. I really do. If they stay healthy, I think they got a chance to end up in a really good spot.
And you mentioned, you know, Tavion down the field. And I think all this is what all this stuff they got to get cleaned up. We seen flashes. You look at the game at Florida, the 60-yard pass to Key, he had time. That takes time to develop, and he was given time to throw that pass. So if everything gets in sync, you might start seeing that down the field stuff open up. I want to backtrack too. My bad, Aaron. I know. Hold on. You go ahead.
Yeah, real quick on Tavion. I think they might start getting him more down the field when Chris is back. I think he's kind of, you know, we've seen some looks out of the backfield. We've seen some of those dinks, you know, screen passes. I think they're just trying to, like, it's a way to get the run game or the short game going that they haven't been able to with Kavase and Lavelle yet.
Mm-hmm. And let me, too, I hadn't mentioned, look, we courtesy of Believe.com. I didn't say it at the beginning. Y'all can get this episode and all the episodes. Go straight to the source if you want to, the site, BLEAV.com, or wherever you get your podcasts, Apple, Spotify, Stitcher, wherever you get your podcasts, is available there. Go to YouTube. You can watch us, the Believe Podcast Network YouTube channel. They post the video of this episode, and we tweet the links out as well. And A Sea of Blue, they put these episodes up on their site and promote it on there as well. So we appreciate everybody taking the time to put these episodes up on the site. I was just going to backtrack real quick to one thing that we talked about in the previous episode, but didn't really get to it. Y'all both mentioned the interception for Will at Florida. Was that on him? Was that O-line where he just got hit? How did y'all kind of break that down? If you, because we mentioned it and then didn't really kind of dive into it.
Yeah, I think Mark Stoops put it best. He was talking about that play actually on Monday. There's nothing Will could have really done there. I mean, that he was under duress, and you know, the ball kind of just fell in a guy's lap. So it was just a bad play all around. Nothing much you could do about it. I really think the only pick that stood out that was like, oh, come on, Will, was the last one against Youngstown in the fourth quarter. And Scangarello said this yesterday, that his footwork just got clunky. You know, he thought someone was supposed to be in a certain spot, and it just didn't end up, you know, panning out. It was a good play by the DB. They covered it up, and Will just made a bad decision, and his footwork got clunky because he rushed the play. So I think for the most part, though, some of it is, you know, this is a young wideout room, and some of the routes and the timing are still not quite there. I think that was kind of what happened in the Ohio game in the end zone. And then I think the first pick against Youngstown State, they said was a wrong route. So, you know, there's still, and also, I mean, outside, actually, I don't know how many of these guys he really has much game rep with, because Tavion's new to this team. He's not new to college ball, but he's new to the team. So there's a filling out process going on, and you know, the picks are definitely higher than they want, but it's hard to put the blame too much on the quarterback just yet.
Yeah, this, you know, we spoke about this before, but quarterback, I mean, it's a position where you got to rely on a lot to be successful. And obviously it starts with you, but there's a lot of factors. And I think, you know, you're going to throw interceptions at this position, you know, especially when you're throwing the ball 30 times a game, you're going to throw a couple. Now you want to cut them down. Obviously you don't want to throw a lot of them, but the first pick was an honest interception. I mean, it happened. Yeah. The second pick, yes, was footwork. And I noticed, you know, a lot of people may not notice this, but I watched this stuff, but from the shotgun, he's going into like a lot more open shuffle type drops. He's not really crossing over as much as he did last year and taking true five steps from the gun or whatever. He's opening a shuffle and opening and hitching and resetting, or just, you know, rather than just taking a traditional drop. So I noticed he's doing that more. I'm not sure if this is a comfortability thing. I'm sure the coaches give him leeway on concepts based on time and what he want to do. But I just noticed that. So I'm wondering if, you know, they thought that would be a better fix for him, you know, to kind of take away some of those turnovers and help with his, you know, his base and his timing in the pocket and whatnot, to kind of, you know, ease away some of those, you know, missed throws or whatnot. But at the end of the day, you don't want turnovers, you know, at the end of the day, regardless if it's a timing guy regardless if it's a receiver running the wrong route, regardless if it's Will's fault, you know, all Stoops here is turnover. All he sees, you know, he don't want to see it.
Yeah, they're losing the turnover battle a second straight year.
Yeah, from a coach's standpoint, he, you know, at the end of the day, and I wouldn't care. I mean, let's stop doing it, whatever it is. Let's, you know, and I know that's easier said than done. And you can't really, and we talked about this before too, you got to be careful how you approach your quarterback with turnovers because you don't want him to be gunshot.
Yes.
I think he has a level of confidence right now throwing the ball that you want to keep going. You just got to get everybody on the same page. And I think, you know, 60%+ of it is the protection. You know, I think he's not as confident in the protection as, you know, you want your quarterback to be because, you know, they haven't been protecting great. So you want to see that get better. But I don't think we should be alarmed right now, you know, at that right now. Now, if it continues next or this Saturday, then maybe. But, you know, I think they'll be fine.
I think the one only use the word alarm. The only thing I'm really alarmed with the offense is the left tackle spot. And that's because Mark Soup said himself that Kenneth Horsey didn't play well this past weekend against Youngstown. They played pretty well, obviously, in the second half against Florida, but he also said Jagger Burton had a rough game. So that left side of the offensive line, I know Kenneth is not a natural left tackle, but they got to find an answer there. And it just doesn't sound like with Goodwin, who they, from everything I heard this spring, they thought he was going to be the guy. And it just hasn't developed as quickly as they thought it would. And that's my only area of like, all right, they really got to figure it out. I mean, left tackle, you got to protect that blind spot.
I think that was it. We were texting during the game Saturday, and I was,
yeah,
runs to the left.
Yeah. And Goodwin, you know, it was funny because Goodwin got in that last drive with 2 minutes left. And, you know, I think Kaya was playing quarterback and he pancaked his dude and everyone's like, oh, he's ready. He's ready. And someone asked Mark about that Monday and he was not having it. He's like, there's a lot more work to do. Nice play, but, you know, not playing yet.
Right. And we talked about the O-line, talked about C-Rod coming back. When he does come back at Ole Miss, do you think that affects or helps the bootlegs? When Will turns his back to the defense, you got guys coming right at him, breathing down his neck because they don't respect the run, they don't respect the backs. They're going to have to make sure C-Rod doesn't have it before you pursue the QB. So that's going to maybe give him a little breathing room and give him time to throw on those boots and rollouts and stuff like that.
Yeah, I think, you know, when you got a running back that was on those award lists, preseason award lists, you got to respect them. So, and it's funny you said it. I noticed, I was watching today, I was like, man, they not, you know, they had one they threw to Tavion that was down the field on the drag or the cross coming across on the boot not right, going towards the locker room. But that was a good throw and catch. But the boot game hadn't been as clean as you would want it. And I do think part of it is, you know, the lack of success in the run game. And part of it is personnel. You know, when you got a running back there that you really fear, you know, you got to respect it. I mean, it's just natural. The boot game, you know, it's my favorite. I mean, y'all, you know, my brothers joke all the time. But it's my favorite, play action protection when it comes to calling plays. If I'm an offensive coordinator, I'm calling it. And I'm calling it at least 5 times a game, especially running the type of offense that they run. Because it's so – I mean, you get a good athlete on the edge. You know, you're faking it to a good player, right? You're blocking away. You're getting out on the edge. You're moving the launch point. Once those good – and, you know, once you play Georgia and some of those teams, those good defensive ends get a chance to beat down on your quarterback that's going to be in the same spot. That's why you'll see Mississippi State get obliterated by teams like Alabama and Georgia, because they got quarterback is dropping back in the same spot every snap. So you're not, you know, I mean, if I'm Will Anderson or whoever from Georgia or whoever, a good defensive end, when I play Mississippi State, this is my money game, you know. But that's the tough thing about Kentucky's offense. You don't get a chance to do that because you get a good athlete on the move. You know, you're changing the launch point. You're getting guys on the move. So I think that's going to be a huge part of their success on offense. And they went to it a couple times. And Youngstown State, we got to give Youngstown State credit. I mean, they played it well, too. So it wasn't just Kentucky not executing. But I think that'll pick up some once Chris get back. I just, that Ole Miss game just scared me because Lane Kiffin is a mad scientist, man. He is. So that's the only reason. But I think the defense is so good that, you know, I don't think, you know, it's that big of a deal, even though there's, you know, Ole Miss is good, but our Kentucky defense is like, you know, lights out right now. So they got to keep that going. But we'll see. Yeah, but yes, Chris Rodriguez, I mean, if Rich Gangarillo could, like, you know, time travel, he'll time travel to Ole Miss game right now.
Yeah.
That defense got to keep it going for a little while without Jordan Wright. Now, that's a key cause.
JJ. Jordan's good.
I'm sorry. Yeah. Weaver.
You're good.
I get the JWs confused, man.
You're not the only one.
Oh, man. Yeah. Jordan Weaver, who that elbow, man, looked like the hyperextension gruesome. And it's so week to week or however it is, which is great to hear because you thought
could be worse.
Moment done for the year. But, you know, we're hearing Afari possibly stepping up and some other guys maybe trying to step in there and keep that defense going like you talked about.
Yeah, it's going to be Afari and Keaton Wade for sure. And those two guys, we've talked about it, man. They're counting on these freshmen this year like they have in the last couple. But both those guys have been, especially Afari. I mean, Afari has been a difference maker. He really has. He led the team in tackles during that shutout win, and he played almost every snap after JJ went down. And he was talking today about, you know, just building up stamina and getting ready to go because he's probably going to play all game until, you know, if it gets out of hand, they're able to get to the backup. So he's obviously a guy that can play, you know, everywhere. He said he'll play anywhere on the defense. He's an athlete. So he's played outside linebacker, safety, corner, you name it. He's done it all. And then I think we've seen some good things from Keaton Wade too. He obviously blew up that one pass play week one and had his first sack last week. So you got to feel pretty good about those two this week. It's just a matter of, when we get to SEC play, if those guys are ready to step up like Afari did at Florida, but Wade not as much playing time there at the Swamp there.
Yeah. So that depth that we didn't see in years past.
Oh, it's there.
You talk about how multiple they are, Jalen, and now multiple and a lot of young, versatile guys. I mean, we see them doing that on the offensive line, plugging guys in and rotating them, but now these young defensive guys coming in and seemingly able to handle everything that's on their plate so far.
Yeah, they definitely, like I said, the defense is very good. You know, the potentially could be one of probably the best, potentially, especially when Weaver gets back and gets healthy, can potentially be the best defense that Stoops has had. Can potentially be the best team, hands down, that he's had. I think it's hands down the most talent that he's had on one roster. You know, I mean, easy in my opinion.
I agree.
At least from what, you know, no disrespect to any other teams, but I'm just calling it what it is. From watching the teams in the past few years, I think this team beats any other team he's ever had. You know, just the combination of what he has in the backfield, receiver, and I know they, some of them are young, but the depth on defense is really good. Guys come right in and produce. They know what they're doing. I mean, it's just, you know, I think they really trust Valentine at corner. You know, they really, you know, I just think, you know, Brad White can, you know, I think he's comfortable. I watch his interviews and he just seemed confident in him. So that's a good sign because, you know, when you get to playing, you know, Georgia and, you know, some of those teams and, I don't know, South Carolina's kind of up in the air right now, but you get to plan, you know, the competition that we know who's going to give some good competition. I don't think there's any anxiety with the defensive staff. I think they're really confident in what they have. As long as they stay healthy, I think a lot of people are going to have a hard time scoring on. Now it's going to be, you know, can the offense kind of put those pieces together and get everything kind of rolling and get that run game going. Because once the run game is going, you know the pass game is going to be fine because you can play action, you know. And like you said, the Florida game, they took a shot on a 7-8-man protection, deep post and deep over, or deep post and dig, whatever it was. I mean, now you can really get those guys down the field and you really get, you know, create the time in the backfield to allow those speedsters to use their speed to get down the field, because Will got the arm to get it to him. Now you get the protection to allow the speed to get down the field. Now you putting defenses in bad positions. So again, I think they're really confident in their team. I think from what I see, as long as they stay healthy, that's always the thing. Staying healthy at the positions they need to stay healthy, and you're going to get guys banged up, but I see it being a good thing because of the depth is there.
Yeah, two things on that. I think, one, this is Brad White's last year here because he's going to get a head coaching job. I think he's just too good, especially that game plan he had against Richardson and Mike Stoops, maybe Frank Bufano, who knows if they'll go in-house or what route. And then the other thing is, yeah, Carrington Valentine being what he is this year is a game changer, because I was hard on him because last year was bad. I mean, there's no sugarcoating it. He did not play great. Even week one, I didn't think he played great, but the last 2 weeks, man, he's locked down. I mean, Bryce Oliver, who obviously UK knows very well, he's put up really good numbers at Youngstown. He's like 10 touchdowns in 13 games there. And, outside of one play, I mean, Valentine just owned him in that matchup. And he obviously did the same against Florida. And I think he has 10 pass breakups, which is, I know he's tied for the lead in the nation in pass breakups. So I think just having that lockdown cornerback one from him allows it to, the rest of the secondary to catch their breath and know, okay, one side's taken care of. And then you had Kedron Smith, who has been even better than advertised. You knew you were going to get experience. You knew you were going to get a guy unafraid of playing in the SEC and a guy who's been a ball hawk throughout his career. A lot of, I think, 6 interceptions going.
Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply. See ebaymotors.com.
End of the year. But, man, it just takes a lot of pressure off guys when you have two sound cornerbacks on the outside. And then I think even at safety, I think Tyrell Asians he's really stepped his game up this year. This is the best he's played. And, we'll see if Jordan Lovett can, continue to gain experience and be a lockdown free safety, do his job there. But that secondary being a lot better than people expected it to be takes a lot of pressure off some of the areas of concern.
And this maybe shouldn't even surprise us. I mean, after Mike Edwards and all those guys left, everybody said, well, secondary is going to be terrible. And they came back again with a solid pass defense in the secondary. So, to the point, still not where Alabama and Georgia are yet, but Kentucky's ability to reload is happening more and more, where you think there's going to be a drop-off, and here comes some guys stepping right in and maintaining the level that they are. We're starting to see that, kind of in cycles. When you have a bunch of guys leave, you got a bunch of guys ready.
Yeah, I mean, when you recruit that well, consecutive years like that, I mean, that's kind of what happens. And at the end of the day, winning recruits, right? Mm-hmm. So guys seeing, these guys from Kentucky that's in the NFL, and not only in the NFL, they're actually in the NFL producing. So Kentucky's shown that they can get talent and develop talent. So I think the recruits are going to come, and you're seeing that, it's all over the film. And it's easy to recruit now on offense, because all you got to do is tell kids, look, we got an NFL coordinator. Yep. He knows everybody in the NFL.
And right now the defensive coordinator is 6 years in the NFL too. I mean, you have two NFL coordinators.
Right? Exactly. Yeah, two NFL coordinators. I mean, they're just in a good spot right now. It just is. And I think, and like you said, Brad White eventually will get a head coaching job.
Oh, yeah.
And I think – He just seems like a head coach. Mm-hmm. You know, you get some guys who they say, oh, he's the next head coach, and they don't necessarily seem like a head coach. He kind of seems like a guy who want to run a program. And I think, you know, Mike Stoops maybe next in line.
I think that's why he's here.
Yeah, to get that position, which, you know, I think at the end of the day, they're going to run what Mark Stoops want to run and do what they've been doing so well. But, you know, it may be maybe some more Stoops in there.
Yeah, Mike is seasoned. He's been around the block. So, you know, he won't be in over his head. He won't be nothing unfamiliar if it does play out that way.
Yeah, and this is going to be I think, obviously we know a quarterback, they're going to need it, but this is going to be a big transfer portal offseason because, you know, as of right now, the recruiting class they have is just, I mean, we'll see how much better it's going to get, but it's not like the same, you know, all these top guys, household names as they got last year. Obviously, there's some really good, a couple of big safeties coming in, Shamar Porter at receiver, really good additions there, but I just think, like, quarterback position – linebacker, because you're going to lose Square and you're going to lose Jones. Offensive line, seeing what's going on this year. I just think it's going to be a big transfer portal offseason, and that's a good thing because there have been very, very few misses, if any, out of the transfer portal from this Kentucky staff. I mean, I can't think of one. It's too early to say D. Beckwith has been a bust because we haven't really gotten to see him play. So, like, every single transfer portal addition they've made since these new rules have taken shape, they've pretty much hit on.
Yeah, and I think – oh, go ahead.
I was going to say, we talked about him getting some looks at running back. You said at practice you saw him taking handoffs. I mean, it was garbage time, but – put that
he's there. Right
there, and
I love Mark trying to be sly. He said it's not going to happen, and then Rich Scangrillo basically said he's an H-back this week. So,
yeah,
but you know, I was like, see what you got, and some Tennessee fans that I know were like, oh, he ain't nothing here, you know, he ain't. So that's, of course, they're gonna say that since he left their program.
Yeah, verdict ain't out yet.
Exactly. But go ahead, man, Jay. I know I stepped on you, so go ahead.
No, you good, man. Yeah, I was just saying. You know, with the transfer portal, man, think about the quarterbacks you can attract now. You know, with the staff, I mean, you can, you know, I think the days of, like, the quarterback, you know, obviously guys got to pan out, but the days of, like, maybe not having as much talent as you want at the quarterback position may be over. I mean, with the track record of hiring certain coordinators and certain styles of offense, and then, you know, Will Levis is going to be a draft pick. So he got the ball rolling at that position the right way, you know, with the coordinator hires and whatnot. So, you know, I think that's going to be very interesting to see who comes in after Levis, because, you know, there's a lot of quarterbacks out there with talent that's not starting right now. And there's going to be a lot of guys that's, you know, wanting to put their name in the transfer portal, and the ones that do are going to be ringing the doorbell at Kentucky. If you're an NFL caliber guy that can play on that level, I mean, this seems like the place for you right now. When you look across the landscape of college football, when it comes to being pro ready, you got two pro coordinators at the school. So that's going to be big, and that's a huge selling point. With the kids that's going to be in transfer and the high school kids. I mean, it's going to be a big deal. Yeah. I think, you can attract – I mean, you got guys probably reaching out, you know, to the school for that rather than having to beg kids to come. You know, so that's a different world they're in now on offense for sure.
You're recruiting yourself now. It's recruiting itself.
Yeah, it's desperate. I mean, you don't – Alabama doesn't have to go out and beg a quarterback, you know. USC with Lincoln Riley Lane Kiffin don't have to go out and beg a quarter. I mean, these schools like Oklahoma, you know, Tennessee now, I know people don't want to hear that, but Tennessee, sure, you know, they don't have to go out and beg quarterbacks now. I mean, these schools, quarterbacks are begging them, you know, they want to go play for these schools because they know at the end of the day, this is going to give me the best shot to put up numbers and to be successful. So I think, you know, I think that's going to be the thing. And Kentucky got an edge over some of them because they can say, look, you know, you're going to go into the NFL and you're going to hear this exact terminology. these exact plays. So that's a huge that's a program changer that Stoops made by hiring Lee and Cohen last year.
Yeah, and you're going to turn on the NFL draft, and your quarterback is going to be in the top 10.
Yeah, he changed the program with that hire.
100%.
I really do believe that. I remember when he made that hire, when I saw it, I was like, because I was studying the Rams offense. I'm a geek. So I was like, man, he has changed the program with that one hire. Because now if you're a quarterback and you got anybody around you with any quarterback knowledge, dude, Kentucky is very high on the list. You know, so, you know, that was a program changer.
And then, you know, a lot of people were tweeting out, you know, the couple throws Will made, not – textbook, you know, backpedaling.
That one to Brendan Biggs.
Throwing lasers, which will a lot of people say will probably show up. When he does get drafted, that'll show up when they run the little clip of your, you know, college highlights. Just insane, you know.
Yeah, the one to Tavion was the one that I think Cole Kublik posted it.
That
was crazy. You know, I train quarterbacks. I've never seen.
You can't teach that.
You can't teach that. And like Rich said, that's, you know, it's, I think he said this. He was like, it's probably 15 quarterbacks on the planet.
Yeah.
Make some of those throws. And that's the truth. I mean, the guy can just flat out throw the football, man. So that's, you know, I don't care who comes in next year. They're not going to. They're not going to be that throwing the ball. You know, it's hard to duplicate that.
Yeah, it was that throw that got me, and then that one to Brendan Bates where he was falling backwards and just chucked it 30. I think it was a 29-yard gain to Bates, almost 30 yards in the air. It was – yeah, he makes some wild throws, that's for sure.
Yeah.
Like, it's like a basketball player where, like, maybe the only thing square to the basket is your arm. Everything else is off, and you just flick it and it goes in. That's what he was doing. The only thing that was – it was just – arm and shoulder, everything else was off platform, off center, out of time, and it didn't matter. Just still threw a laser.
Yeah. And that's why they want to get that footwork perfected, because just imagine him with perfect footwork, better footwork, and then, you know, still being able to make the throws when it's under duress. I mean, yeah, they got some.
Yeah. And it, you know, and it may be, you got to be careful what you ask for, too, because I think part of the, you know, what makes him is his ability to not have his feet set and still make the throws.
Yeah.
Because you're not going to always have your feet set on these throws. So you definitely want to have good footwork, but, you know, again, you know, anybody else in college football, pretty much, except your name, except, you know, maybe CJ Stroud, Bryce Young, the usual culprits, anybody else may not make that throw, but, you know, he does. And, you know, you don't really want to say anything to him because those are the plays that he gets you out of bad plays with his arm. So that's, you know, that's one of those things that you got to be like, you know, but whatever, you know, he made the play. So, you know, it's one of those things. It's a good problem to have, though, man, because trust me, there's a lot of coaches in the country right now wishing they had one.
That's for sure. We'll get a couple of quick thoughts, what y'all saw, you know, throughout college football right quick. But we'll talk about our friends at La Terraine first. Designer watches. Timeless wristwatches made with pride. Our men's designer watches are built and designed for watch enthusiasts. La Terraine watches are made to last with a careful selection of materials and components. This focus on detail from the design to your wrist provides our customers with a great watch at any price. LaTerraine.com, LaTouraine.com. Go see what Dave and Ben have on the site. They got watches for men and women, accessories. You can accessorize your timepiece. Different styles, a great collection. Go to LaTerraine.com. Tell them you heard about them on the Believe in Kentucky podcast. You can even hit them up in the chat and ask about a certain watch or a certain band. They'll respond and answer, and that way you can make an informed decision before you purchase. LaTerraine.com. Go check our friends out there. What from the weekend maybe jumped out at y'all? And some of the other games throughout the SEC or throughout college football?
There's a lot. I would think – I'd say the LSU was a bit of surprise. I didn't think they'd beat Mississippi State, let alone by two scores. So I got to give it to Brian Kelly there. Obviously, Death Valley is a really tough place to play, and Mississippi State always seems to be a different team away from Starkville. So who knows how much – what to read into that game. Obviously, I think there's a lot Kentucky can watch on tape and try to duplicate there. But I got to give credit to LSU, and I definitely think the Anthony Richardson hype train has slowed down after that. Was not a good game at USF, and if it weren't for, or against USF rather, and if weren't for a bad snap by the center and then a bad hold, they USF putting it in overtime. So those are my two SEC takeaways, and then. Feel bad for Nebraska. That's my other one. And then there really just wasn't that much going on that surprised me. I think I got to give credit to you, Dub, smashing Michigan State. I've always known that program was overrated, so not too surprised there. And yeah, otherwise though, it's just kind of, I mean, it was a good week. Every week of college football is great, but it was kind of a, everything kind of went status quo in my opinion.
Yeah. I think the big thing for me, man, was seeing Texas A&M bounce back and only give up 9.
That's true.
Now, Texas A&M has huge problems on offense. But, you know, to see them bounce back and because I had Miami winning that game, honestly. I thought Miami would go in and beat them, especially coming off of last week. But, again, my brother played at Texas A&M on a Saturday night. He was like, dude, it's damn near impossible to win here. You know, he was like, because, you know, he played a 7:30 game at Texas A&M, and he was like, bro, this is crazy, you know. So maybe that play, you know, not maybe, that did play a part in it. Ohio State scoring 77 points was very alarming to me. 77 points, I don't care who you're playing. 77 points is 77 points. Somebody almost got 80 put on them.
Was Toledo, right? And Toledo came in here and gave Kentucky a fight a couple of years ago.
Yeah, I mean, 77 points, again, that's 77 points. That's 11 touchdowns scored in one game. So that's pretty crazy, man. I don't, you know, that kind of glossed over the football world. 77 points. If I'm Toledo, I'm extremely embarrassed. I mean, that's a big deal. That's 11. You know, that's 11. It's hard to do that on anybody.
Utah put up 70 the week after Florida. I forgot who they beat, but they put up 70 this year too.
Yeah, and my other thing that
like that a few years ago.
Yeah.
77-7 or something like that.
Yeah. And my other thing, this is my last thing. I said this preseason. I don't know how it's going to play out, but people need to watch out for Oklahoma. Mm-hmm. Oklahoma is a problem. And I think they got a very good head coach. They got a very good offensive coordinator. They got a very good quarterback. They could be a team that we see in the playoff if they're able to, you know, maneuver that schedule. The schedule's not easy. I think the Big 12 is kind of up for grabs. There's a lot of parity.
Oklahoma State's real good.
Yeah, Oklahoma State's good. I think Texas is a juggernaut. When they have the quarterback now. But I think USC is another team that I think Lincoln Riley has done a lot really fast with that program. So I will say, you know, playoff picture, the two teams that stand out to me are Oklahoma and USC. I didn't expect USC to be as good as fast. I knew he would get it turned around eventually, but I know they hadn't really played anybody great yet. But neither has Oklahoma really. They haven't played anybody great yet, but the way in which they're winning is really impressive from Oklahoma. I mean, they're obviously the best team on the field, and it's not even close. I mean, they embarrassed Nebraska, you know, embarrassed them. I mean, and again, Nebraska's not very good, but you know, for you to go into Nebraska and do that,
a tough place to play still, yeah,
and they you know, I mean, it was like Big Brother stuff they did for them. I mean, it was really bad. So, but yeah, that's kind of what stood out to me, man. And again, the Florida thing, the quarterback has the train is not even moving anymore. I mean, he's got a lot
to work on.
Yeah, he got to come back for another year. You know, and I said that after the Kentucky game, I was like, yeah, this game solidifies that he's got to come back. I mean, he's a great talent. He just needs he need more time.
Yeah, no, he'll be great. He just the Cam Newton and Dak Prescott comparisons after one game was just not fair to the kid. And you got to put some blame on Billy Napier for that because he said it. He literally said he's somewhere in between Cam Newton and Dak Prescott.
I think he was trying to hype his quarterback up and try to. But I see what you're saying. Yeah, you don't want to put that type of pressure on him. But another thing that stood out to me was, and again, people are going to hate this. Two things really. Tennessee is getting better.
Oh yeah,
and Georgia is the best team in the country, and it's not even close. I don't really think it's that close. I think Georgia's the best team in the country. The defense has picked up where he left off. The offense is explosive this year, which is a huge problem. You know, on paper, most people will probably say Georgia's going to win it all this year on paper. But we'll see how things go. You know, things happen, right? Injuries, going to other people's home field and playing them and having an off day. So, you know, things happen. So that's just what I took away from it. Again, I'm a geek. I'm a junkie when it comes to this. I go back on Sundays. I don't watch NFL ball. So I go back on Sundays and watch a lot of the college games over or the ones that I missed. Yeah. So I picked up a lot of things, but I thought it was a very telling weekend. Even though some teams didn't play good teams, I thought it was still – you can still see how a team – what a team is made of, even against, you know, lesser competition. So I thought those were the things that kind of stood out to me.
And I think the Spencer Rattler, any hype there is also dead. Yeah, I mean, it's not, I know Georgia's going to make anyone look bad, but he doesn't look. He didn't look good against Georgia State. He didn't look good week two. It's just not there, man.
Yeah, I couldn't touch him on FanDuel, man. I was like, you playing Georgia, bro? I can't touch him, man.
I wouldn't even touch. Who are they playing this week? I wouldn't even touch him against the. I don't even know. They're playing a crap team. I wouldn't touch him.
Yeah. So that's.
You know, the thing about me, y'all mentioned big brother, little brother stuff. Well, that's the case with Oklahoma State and Oklahoma. Gundy's had some good teams before, but he just can't ever seem to beat Oklahoma. It's like 3-14 against them in his career, and they're not going to play each other when Oklahoma comes to the SEC. So everybody was clowning him like,
bedlam.
I'm glad that he doesn't have to do it. Florida, Tennessee is two teams going in opposite directions. Florida is kind of limping into Knoxville, and they've had Tennessee's number for a long time, but it looks like Tennessee's probably going to break through. And
they're going to roll them, I think.
Lastly, and Jalen, you played. I don't know if you experienced it, but, you know, we talked about App State, and, you know, they got College Game Day. They took it from A&M.
Oh, that was awesome.
If you're Troy, how do you bounce back from that a game like that, to lose that way?
I don't know, man.
poor John Sumrall. I hope Stoops gave him a call after.
I mean, you got a better chance of being struck by lightning than that happened, man. I don't know. To be honest with you, I don't even know what you tell a team after that. I mean, I really don't. I really don't know what you tell your team after that. I mean, that's just tough. I just, you know, I think I don't know what App State got going on this year, but they seem like they got a lot of mojo. They got it going on, but I don't know. The answer to your question is I don't know. You know, that's hard, man. That's hard to come back from right there.
Yeah, one more takeaway from the weekend, if I can, because App State reminded me of it because a former coach there is now at Louisville. He's got to go at Louisville, man. They're done. The Scott Satterfield there is over. I mean, this was such a hyped off season. I didn't really understand for what, other than the fact they're recruiting these California kids out of nowhere. But man, they can't tackle. They literally can't tackle. Obviously, you know, Florida State loses their starting quarterback. It's a revenge game for him. And they still just that throw into that 6'7" kid in the end zone, just picking all over these Louisville corners. And, you know, Cunningham has flashes where it's like, man, he was great. And then it's just, you make him throw the ball and he throws a pick. I mean, it's just not working out for them. And like, honestly, I think it's been a while since both programs are good, but like, it'd be fun to have both teams good. Like it really would, you know, to have both teams have reasonable reason to trash talk and have just a really good game come the end of the regular season. And man, Louisville's a mess right now. That game against Florida State, I know the score was close because of the backup quarterback situation, but man, they're bad, and they obviously got rolled by Syracuse, and they got bailed out at UCF by a terrible game plan from Gus Malzahn.
Yeah, I mean, does Brad White take that job? Does Mike Stoops take that job?
They could use someone from Kentucky.
Hey, I wouldn't write it off, man.
I wouldn't either, but they need defense.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, that's a job where you don't got to move too far. I mean,
it's a great point.
It's right up the road, man. I mean, that job may be open, and it's not a bad job for your first head job if you're Brad White. And if you're
Mike Stoops,
it's not a bad job to try to bounce back into that head coaching position. But
that'd be all Stoops brothers against each other.
Yeah, that'll be. Hey, I've been waiting to say that all Ooh. Show. I was like, man, I'm gonna say this. You know, I don't know if Rich is like a head coach right now. I don't know if he want to be, but
he said he didn't want him for what it's worth.
I don't blame him. You know, I don't blame him. I mean, that head coach thing is a different beat, man.
As cool as that would be, I do think it's going to be, if they finally pull the trigger, if or when, I think Jeff Brohm is the time to leave Purdue and head that way. I really do. Look at they suck, Purdue. I'm sorry. They have a good quarterback. That defense can't stop anybody. They're going to lose the quarterback after this year, O'Connell. And, you know, it's not – the fan base there is not great. The Big Ten West stinks, but – it's just never going to happen at Purdue, man. And I think it could happen. It could happen at Louisville, where it won't happen at Purdue.
And he might have already way too late. Louisville might get to where they aren't even excited.
I think he's done enough to, one, he's obviously that's where he's from. That's his school. And two, he's done enough at Purdue that already impresses you. It's just that's a job where it's going to run out of steam eventually.
Boilermaker run out of steam there.
Yeah, pun intended.
You did there. And one last thing. I know, Jalen, you don't watch the NFL, but the Raiders lost kind of like Troy.
God, worse.
And look, Jalen, I know Hunter Renfrow from his days at Clemson, the most sure-handed dude in the world. He fumbled twice on the same drive. He fumbled one time. The Raiders recover. They hit him on a little bubble screen again. He fumbles, Cardinals pick it up into the house in overtime. That's how they lose. They're going in to get a field goal or win. Another devastating loss from a dude who has got some of the surest hands we've ever seen. He didn't drop a ball at Clemson. Seeming like he caught everything in anywhere in any 50-mile radius of him. He caught it. And to see him fumble twice in a drive, dude, it was crazy, man.
He did get concussed on the second one, though.
By Simmons, a fellow Clemson dude.
I've been watching Renfrow over the years. This dude had a few concussions, man.
He gets hit.
Yeah, if I'm not mistaken, Bama concussed him, and he stayed in the game. I know when a guy's concussed. I worry about Renfrow sometimes, man. I was like, man, he's been taking some hits. But, it happens, man. Like, you don't expect him to do it, fumble. I mean, but, you know, it happens. You know, I remember, and then fumbles is just so devastating. That's why you hear a lot of coaches say, I'm okay with interceptions, but fumbles, I can't deal with. There's something about a fumble, man, that just, I don't know, that just kind of take the wind out of your sails, man. But, it happens. I was just wondering what happened because I saw the video where allegedly a fan smacked.
Oh, the clock Kyler.
Yeah. So I don't know if the guy tried to do it. I just saw the video. So I was like, okay, they must have won in dramatic fashion how they were celebrating. So I was wondering what happened. But I guess it happens, man.
Yeah. Well, this podcast happens, and we enjoy bringing it to y'all. Enjoy all the knowledge and the quotes that you get, AG, from the coaches and the players, and they're interacting for the cat's paws doing your thing on the regular every day. All the knowledge and perspective you bring, Jalen. Hope everybody appreciates that. Hope everybody enjoys it when they listen to this episode. Retweet it when we tweet it out. Tell your friends about it. If you like Kentucky at all, keep checking us out on the Believe in Kentucky podcast. Hope to be talking about Kentucky being 4-0 heading to Oxford this time next week. And then we jump into that SEC grind, fellas.
Can't wait.
Yeah, it's gonna be fun to watch, man. Fun to watch.
Absolutely. So for my man Aaron Gershon, Jalen Whitlow, my name is Vinny Hardy. It's been another episode of Believe in Kentucky on the Believe Podcast Network, number one content network for professionals. And we will holler at y'all next week.
Without the ones like you, who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you, with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
You know when you're listening to a true crime story that has an unbelievable plot twist that makes you stop in your tracks? That's what our podcast, People Are the Worst, brings you with each episode. I'm Rachel.
And I'm Rebecca. We're identical twins who love true crime cases that make you say, "Didn't see that coming," and we hate the people responsible for them. Listen to People Are the Worst now on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.